When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Weird that the Phillies-Yankees series, 2 of 3, you know, take it. We have Brian Barber over the weekend. Check that pot out if you missed it. By the way, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. But we will talk about the Yankees-Philly series, obviously, but it's rare that a 2 of 3 up in New York takes a back seat in a podcast, but it's perfect deadline time, buddy. We'll do that. We'll react to the series first and lead up to deadline. But you know, I think the key reason that most people are here is that I want to call it an annual tradition, but that doesn't carry enough heft. You know, the importance, the way people look forward to it, like it's like an annual, I don't know, celebration or something. But it's the perfect deadline pod. We made it.
Yeah,
and no trades like anywhere practically. Like, is Josh Naylor the biggest guy moved? I mean, Ryan McMahon. Like, it's usually by the time we do this, there's moves out there, there's stuff happening, there's a big move or two a week or you know whatever out. It's all brewing, buddy.
Oh yeah. So a couple things. First off, very much looking forward to the Perfect Deadline podcast, of course. But as we go further and further into doing these, the more and more I realize they're probably never going to listen to it. And they're never going to do anything that we want them to do at all.
Yeah. They haven't yet.
Yeah. So. Not yet. I don't think one of my moves or your moves have been used, frankly. I mean, how many times? Like, Harrison Bader, I didn't even feel like the need to put him in.
Every single one. He's in every single one. Like, honestly, it's obnoxious at this point.
I wanted to just exclude Rob Refsnyder because I know that it's not going to happen, but I can't. You can't quit perfection. And, like, I just... One of these days, maybe they'll take some of our suggestions. Regardless, other quick thought. The Yankees trade for Ryan McMahon shows how cooked that franchise is.
Oh, a weak sauce move, dude. What a weak. I know he had that nice play on, was it yesterday?
Trey. Well, he had Trey today.
Trey, too. The diving one was yesterday. Yeah, but he's like, what a lame. Lame move.
Well, and you know what it is? It's like, oh, well, we value.
Watch Ryan McMahon be the World Series MVP or something, but you know, no one will remember we said that.
Watch what he brings defensively. I don't need my big market teams worried about defense. That's not why you're here. Yeah, they should have got Eugenio Suarez. And on another note about the Yankees, tell you what, I know Judge didn't play. I wasn't impressed with the Yankees, really. At all. I mean, I thought the Phillies pretty much outplayed. I mean,
if Wheeler pitched, it looks like normal today. They sweep them, you know, done, over, easy.
Yeah. Like I think the AL is generally pretty weak. Like the fact, I mean, the Tigers are free falling, but the fact that they were like the number one team in the AL for a while was shocking. I actually think the Red Sox are better than the Yankees.
I mean, the Blue Jays clearly are. I mean, how funny is it that like if you had to ask who the scariest team in the AL is somehow, we might be back to being the Astros somehow. It's like, what the hell? It's like time's a flat circle. What's going on?
They are a ridiculous franchise. So it was good to see another. Now, I don't think Otto Kemp, I don't want him to qualify as a random third baseman of Philly's past. Like, I want Otto Kemp to be around for a while. But I guess it wasn't the anniversary. But for the first time since 2015 in the Mike Galfranco series, they took a series up in New York, and mm-hmm. Otto Kemp hits two today. I hope that he's not some random trivia question 10 years from now.
Yeah, well, it's especially funny because he did it in the loss, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's also funny because I hung out with my brother last night, and he was like not, you know, super in on Otto Kemp, and I was trying to explain to him why Otto Kemp is a winning ball player, and the whole situation of, you know, that, you know, if he were, you know, not being counted on quite as much as they need him to, that he would be someone you'd be like so excited to have as a guy who helps the team win. But it was just funny that he hit the two homers today. It was like perfect after we had a long Otto Kemp combo last night.
Otto Kemp is a just trust me, bro.
yeah, exactly. It'll work.
Just trust me. I think there's a winning ball player there for sure.
Definitely want him up at the plate in a big spot instead of a ball coming his way defensively in a big spot.
You didn't see the diving play today? I mean, that was, he was like,
I know. Today was his day. I mean, it was a shame. And of course, poetic that he was the guy to strike out that game. Of course, it's like,
I tell you what, he's got a strong stash. I mean,
it's phenomenal. Yeah, especially because it's not like the classic one. It's kind of a little shorter and tighter, but it works for him. Look, the two homers today, we also should mention, you know, High Hopes fan, or at least, kind of High Hopes fan, Nick Kurtz, four home runs. How about that? Like, it's the High Hopes bump, you know?
Yeah, so first off, I've already nicknamed him Him Tome. And...
Never been called Him Tome before. It's pretty good.
I don't know, but I'll lay the groundwork now. It's July 27th, 2025. In six years. Like, yeah, well, Harp's contract will be, you know, before his extension, of course, will be winding down, and Kurtz will be the next one that they're going to bring in. He's going to be the next face of the franchise. He's going to be the Jim Tome of 2003. That's what it's going to be all over again. It's beautiful. He is phenomenal. What a player. His 19 home runs.
Oh, he's been insane.
Fourth pick in the draft last year.
It's truly unbelievable. Wouldn't that be something, Jack? We'll talk about some prospects potentially in the perfect deadline. All right, a couple things from the weekend. Obviously, we'll get to the main course of the pod coming up. And again, if you missed it, we did a one-off pod with Brian Barber. Usually, we'll like put it in with the main pod, but we did a pod with Brian Barber talking about the draft, all the picks. It was awesome. He gave us a ton of time. He's the best. So definitely check that out after this if you haven't. But Fritzy, the weekend, I think obviously the bats overall, just the bats coming to play. And, you know, obviously Bryce still looking awesome and locked in is the biggest thing. But I want to start with, I think coming in, you know, like Ranger has kind of been over the last few starts, the biggest question mark, you know, of the things that we thought we could count on prior. You know, they get the win. I wouldn't say he was amazing, but, you know, got the job done. Mm-hmm. Ranger, before we get to kind of the bats and all that.
Yeah, so Ranger kind of is just looking a lot like the guy that started that Mets series last year. Yeah. Now, he was better yesterday than that. Like, that Mets series was truly just walking the tightrope. I mean, it is what it is. Now, I give him credit. Like, he grinded.
He walked it. Yeah, he walked it.
But it's been a lot more grind his way through some of these outings than excelling and you know, dominating, which I think is natural. You know, he pitched to a pretty ridiculous level for a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I think the good part is, like, I was worried about his body breaking down. I was worried about, you know, super velo dips. I don't really see that much yesterday. And I thought the body language was much better. His last start, it looked like it was affecting him, and I'm not used to seeing Ranger Suarez get affected by anything. And I will say, Yankees fans got to be sick about left-handed pitchers making cool-ass plays in their stadium.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I know.
The one-handed catch tag of first base in the Harper play was awesome. Listen, you take that from Ranger against the Yankees in New York in that stadium, it's more encouraging than not, but certainly recently it's been a lot more of grinding his way through it. Early in the game looked like he was fighting himself. Maybe it's just, you know, a little mechanical adjustment. Wheeler, I haven't seen him miss by that much.
He was so off, dude.
And he's been kind of off.
He hit two or three guys today, right?
Yeah, on sweepers. On
yeah, it was like it was really out of character.
It was like he was hitting left-handed hitters in the left thigh. So it was a really weird Wheeler start too. Now his ERA, I guess, heading into the game at Yankee Stadium was 7.2. So and also maybe he heard Carlos Rodon come out to Brewster and it threw him off a little bit. So I, but both of those guys I thought really were fighting themselves. And Ranger's been fighting himself. Wheeler's been fighting himself. I think that Wheeler is a simple mechanical adjustment away from being right back to being Zach Wheeler. You know, I don't know what the mechanical adjustment is, but like that's what it looks like to me, that they'll figure it out in a bullpen session and it'll be fine.
No one's super concerned on that front.
No one's concerned. Although the Negadelphia mindset is, well, he threw the complete game and he hasn't been the same guy since. And then I start worrying about Chris, but we don't need to go that far. But yeah, Ranger fighting himself, more like walking a tightrope. Wheeler, I've never seen him miss with that kind of fastball command. And credit to him. I mean, he did go 5 2/3. He probably could have gotten out of that inning before he death stared Rob Thompson for bringing in Tanner Banks against two consecutive lefties. But yeah, I think those are the two big. And then Taiwan, whatever. You take the time.
Taiwan's fine. Yeah, absolutely. Give me almost 6-3 runs. I'll take that every single time. And look, the bullpen too. Credit where due. You know, has been, you know, better. You know, we've had some blowups, but for the most part, I mean, we're not talking about counting on these guys in huge spots, but you know, they for the weekend at least solid. Sure. It really came down to the bats, you know, really blowing up. But I mean, 12 runs and 9 runs in back-to-back games felt like I was watching a completely different team than I've watched the last few months. Turner crushing it all over the place, you know, slapping all over the field.
Oh,
Harper hitting bombs. Schwarber hitting bombs. Castellanos hitting bombs.
Oh, how about Jacob Tyler?
He's been white. And by the way, that play made today. I mean, that was, I know, it's one of those, like, you'll see these plays on Twitter where it's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, with all these plays. And like, a lot of them are great. And some of them are like, all right, chill. There's only a few where you're like, all right, this was truly warranted, the insanity that people made about it. Like, it's that type of play. That was, I mean, that's unbelievable to see someone be able to athletically make that happen. But
at 35
years. Yeah, 30, yeah.
It's Denzel Clark, Acuna in that play so far.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I'd probably still go with Acuna if I had to pick one. But
yes.
But look. We're going to talk deadline, and I think adding a bat is going to be a theme of our deadlines. But
yeah,
you know, where do you, as we sit on the eve, you know, look, if they wait till the very deadline, we will probably do a pod before it. But like, we might not. They might make a trade before then. Like, theoretically, heading into the deadline, if it's your last chance on IOPS to just address the offense after a solid weekend, you know, a good weekend for the most part. What's the Jack Fritz statement on the Phillies offense heading into trade deadline?
Don't believe it.
Yeah,
that is my statement. I was actually, I think I was driving around maybe yesterday or this morning, and I was thinking the worst thing that they can do is having to sit through it. Not the same story.
Different story. Totally.
But I was like, wouldn't hate a nice, like, two run effort of more futility on this Sunday. Would like it to come back down to earth. I don't need them, much like what happened before the trade deadline last year. I don't need them convincing themselves that we have Tyler Phillips is the number five starter. Just make it obvious. That is all that I want. And obviously you want wins as well. But I want them to make it obvious, make it overwhelming, that they need another bat to add to this lineup. And I would hope that a hot week does not change how they feel heading into the trade deadline. Max Kepler got 2 hits. That was disgusting. He needs to not do that. Don't do that. He's had a good week. Get ready to learn national. You know, I know you want to be down there, I'm sure, or you want to be somewhere where you're going to play all the time.
Yeah, so. Get ready to learn Korean as far as I'm concerned. All right.
Well, go overseas. It's time.
Yeah, obviously. What else would I mean by that? become a Korean teacher. Yes.
But it was good to see. You need Turner, Harper, and Schwarber to be right. Even JT.
Like, it's everything. Yeah. You're right. You can't count on JT. Like, the run we've gotten from JT, like, you can't count on that. What you hope to be able to count on is something, you know, that's below that, but still much more consistent than the JT we saw in the playoffs last year, for the second half of last year, a large portion of the early part of this year. Like the JT
Let him bat seventh.
So, but it's heartening, but it's also with JT, you know, I don't know that you can count on it in, you know, in October yet, but those top three, like to the end of the day and a trade, but the top three, they're just, they can't falter. Like they have the world on their shoulders, and like it is what it is. It's the way the team's built. Like it's that maybe not intended to be built, but it's the way it's built.
Yeah, and overall, like it was a really, really positive weekend from them. Now today was a step back. I think it went 0-12 today. But you just don't get too concerned when they have a down game. I think that like they've played so well.
Well, and they've been awesome, especially lately. I mean, Turner turned it up this weekend and had a little down thing, but I mean, Harper has been white hot. Schwarber has been insane in July, you know, so they've really been, you're not worried about it.
No, and June Schwarber, it might be done, but July Schwarber seems like he's picking right back up. I mean, 9 home runs in the month, I now understand why Aaron Judge has as many home runs as he does. Like Schwarber in that ballpark would be a problem as well. I mean,
it's insane. Would. Like the first Kemp homer today, it was like, and it was just gone. I was like, what? It was like a fly ball. It looked like it's so crazy. By the way, can we mention that he had won an MVP by the time he made his major league debut, and Bryce Harper's still younger than Aaron Judge. Saw someone point that out this weekend. I think it's important to remember that.
It is pretty ridiculous, but it's so funny. I understand. I was getting mad at Yankees fans because I felt like every pop fly, they were like, I would also probably do that too. Cause who knows? I mean, Giancarlo Stanton swinging so hard, pop fly. I think I'd probably react the same way. But
you're right. You're right.
It was good to see Schwarber make that stadium look incredibly small for a couple days. And again, like the Yankees have what, the fourth best record in the American.
Third. I think they're out of the Rays, so I think they're third in that division.
Don't see it. And I was. Last year when the Yankees came down here and they just bludgeoned the Phillies. I mean, they smoked them. Austin Hayes did hit a home run, if you remember that. He took it down the left field.
Oh, who couldn't that, buddy?
But I remember leaving the Yankees series last year saying, we got a problem. I mean, we just have a problem. Like the Phillies can't compete with that team. And I think what was so encouraging about this weekend is I actually thought the Phillies took it to the Yankees. And I think that, you know, they didn't look like they were overwhelmed. You know, they looked ready to kind of meet the moment. I thought they met the moment this week. You know, the Red Sox series, the last game was incredibly annoying, but they also jumped out to a great start in that game.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, they're matching up against some of the quote unquote Titans in the AL, and I think that they're really meeting that. And it was much more encouraging rather than last year where it felt like a dumpster fire heading against the Yankees. And, you know, they're just playing good baseball. They just continue to play good baseball. That's why you can't get too down if they lose two or three in a series, because they have, for the most part, bounced back and played good baseball.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what happens the next few days is going to be way more important. So let's get to it real quick before you just forget. Brandon Marsh, like, look where you're going. So maybe call a ladder. We've had a couple instances now. But, like, that was just – so avoidable. And Marsh so deep, like close to the infield. And anyway, let's get to what people really care about. Let's talk about the perfect offseason. All right, Fritzy. So
perfect trade deadline.
Excuse me. My fault.
I might have written. Perfect.
That's what I mean, because we've got these things. Off-season. All right. So here's the deal. You know, whenever we come into these, I always say, you know, I'm the opener, you're the main attraction, I'm the appetizer.
I'm very
happy with that. I'm fine with it. This is like a Fritz special. This is where you thrive, and that's why you're gonna probably have like three of them and whatnot. I came into this very gung-ho, and I spent a lot of time today. I'm like, I'm gonna like be Fritzy, and I'm gonna come up with multiple and all that stuff, and I'll go through a lot of the names later and all, but maybe I'll wait until you're done, because I don't want to like spoil names if you're gonna go, why not. But as I kept doing this and all this, I kept coming back to the fact that, like, and we've talked about it for 2 months, it feels like, that it's the rare year where they just have such clear needs. Now, you could add other spots, you could do other things, but like we have said for months, hey, they need an outfielder who can hit, or a bat who can hit, and you can move someone out there, and they need a relief pitcher, preferably a closer, but just somebody who can come in and be an arm. Like, it's so clear to me, and I kept doing this, and I kept trying to come up with other things, and I just came back to, like, I have two trades, and they're simple, and it's perfect, and if they make these trades, I think they have a really, really good chance to win the World Series, and they're kind of obvious. It's kind of like, that, you know, my big, like, cliches are cliches for a reason, because a lot of times, like, they're true in a lot of cases, or at least there's truth to them. In this case, it was like, yeah, the truth is, it's very obvious what they need, and it's very obvious who, or a couple of who's out there who fit exactly what they need for the likely price that they want to pay or can pay. Now, let's remember, going to the deadline last year, not one top 100 prospect was traded. I don't think that's going to happen this year, obviously. But just remember, like, the market might not be, hopefully it's not as bad as you hear heading in. There's all kinds of smoke and all that. But here's what I'm doing, and it's obvious, and I don't care.
And it's perfect.
I have, and it's perfect in terms of if they want to win the World Series, it's perfect, and it's two simple moves. And okay. I have the second one. I have a couple names. I'm hoping for you're here to check me. Luckily, when you do your moves, I don't check you with the prospects. You can just run wild.
Don't
you
do that.
Check me. You need to tell me if this is fair or not. All right.
Okay. Great.
All right. My first trade, my biggest trade. I'm trading for Eugenio Suarez. I mean, it makes all the freaking sense in the world. I don't care that it's only half a year left. I'm committing to this group right now to win. I know it's a rental. That's okay. He has been unbelievable since the All-Star break last year, essentially. Like, his second half of last year, he was amazing. And I read a thing about from his coach, one of his coaches, who was talking about, like, he's a different hitter now after last year. And, like, the numbers, like, when you look at, yes, I've got the numbers in front of me here. Yeah. OPS first half last year, 668, second half, 942. He had a 341 OBP in the second half, 302 in the first, a 602 slugging as opposed to 366 in the first half, 20 homers as opposed to 10. He changed his approach and just is a completely different hitter. And obviously, it's carried into this year, has been awesome. And the whole time, and that's why, like, you even got me thinking, do I want Byron Buxton, who, by the way, is hurt again? You know, just saying.
Getting imaging.
Shocker. And I was like, I don't want Byron Buxton. He's always hurt. I've owned him in fantasy too many times to say I want him on the Phillies. Like, I just don't. But I wanted a right-handed power bat. Like, I went through, you know, the guys we've talked about Duran and Kwan, all these guys. And look, if they trade for Stephen Kwan, I'll be thrilled. He will help the Phillies. Awesome. But, like, this team has such a clear need. It's a right-handed power bat. Like, it's so obvious, staring us in the face. And there's one dude on the market right now who's that. He's the perfect that. And yes, he's only got half a year left, but you know what? That should make him slightly cheaper than if he had a year left. Certainly, actually, significantly cheaper if he had a year left. So I'm trading for Suarez. Tell me if this is enough, taking into account that he only has half a year left. Is this enough for Eugenio Suarez? Justin Crawford, Mick Abel, Gabriel Rinconis, and Keaton Anthony. Is that enough? I can take out Anthony and put in, like, a Chassé. I don't particularly want to, but I could if you think that makes the package over the top. But I think that Crawford, Abel, I mean, Crawford's a top 100 prospect. Abel is, you know, and I think that I don't know it for sure gets it done, but I think it's somewhere in that range that is, like, the headline of the type of package that goes for Suarez with half a year left.
Yeah, so I agree. And Keaton Anthony. I have no idea what Keaton Anthony's value is.
I don't either. That's why I was, you know me, I'm just trying to, like, kind of mix and match.
Because at the same time, though, he's 23, raking at AAA. He should have been drafted, but because I think there was some gambling probe into Iowa or something, he went undrafted. The Phillies crushed the undrafted market. Otto Kemp, Keaton Anthony. Like,
it's unbelievable.
He's strictly a first baseman, and he's super, super unathletic. But if you squint when you watch Keaton Anthony, you see JD Martinez.
Oh, buddy.
You
like,
do.
And he, a late bloomer JD Martinez, too. He was in his late 20s before he kind of blossomed.
JD Martinez played the outfield for real.
He did. For real back then. Yeah, for a little while there. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. So you think that's fair? You think that's
I think it's pretty close.
Okay, and I'm willing to sweeten it and do what I need to. All right, so that's my first trade. I'm getting Eugenio Suarez in here. I filled my biggest need. And now, obviously, as I said,
given my perfect deadline, I'm very curious what the second.
So, and I'm gutting the depth in the system.
You've always hated to what we talked about,
and I've tried to keep the top guys, which you'll see that I do here at the end, but. I'm willing to, I spent more for Suarez than I will for a relief pitcher, but I'm still willing to put some stuff in here. Ideally, I don't know what the difference in price is going to be between, I have three guys that I'm targeting with this trade, and they are Ryan Helsley, David Bednar, and Griffin Jacks. Jacks has the most control left. He's also the oldest. He's not a closer. Bednar is like a year after this, I believe. Mm-hmm. Kind of righted the ship, has looked good, but has also, you know, had struggles and all that. Only a year left after this. Helsley a free agent at the end of the year. So
yes.
I don't know how he's the best. Where Helsley's the best, and it's reverse order. So it's like that they all kind of line up where I don't know. Like it almost feels like they could all be similar-ish in value. I don't really know.
I think Jacks gets the most. Okay, I think a team takes a shot on Jacks.
I want Helsley the most. I'm willing to give up again. I'm going for two. I'm going for it this year. I am like all in on this year. I don't know if this is too much or enough. You would be better at telling me. Dante Nori is the headline of my trade.
Oh,
I'm trading him while he's hot. And then what else would I need? I had Gene Cabrera there as a potential add-in. Burkhalter, I thought, as a potential guy. Type of package for Helsley or Bednar. That's my other one. I'll save for Helsley, and I'm just going all in. If it's for Bednar and I give up Nori so I get that extra year, I'm good with that too. I get that. But the more I thought about this, the more I looked at this, and in obviously I'm keeping Painter, Tait, Escobar, and our guy Aiden, mm-hmm. and I feel really good about those four as like a core four that we talked about. Crawford was there, but you got to give up something. I feel good about doing that and replenishing, and our guy Brian replenishing, and the depth certainly, and I've filled two unbelievably massive holes on this team. And now I really feel like I can go win the World Series. So I feel great about this. And I'm all in. That's where I'm at. Like my official deadline stands. Last time, I am all in on this.
Yeah. And I think that's the big message that has to be sent to the Phillies this week is I know it can hurt. I know it can hurt giving up prospects. And we love prospects, we're prospect huggers, and we know the value of prospects.
No one loves them more than Jack. I mean, come on.
We just talked to Brian Barber for 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. What other pod is doing that? Exactly.
Yeah, legitimately care a lot. It matters. Totally agree. But you only have this opportunity so often. And with the way they've played, they continue to show you. You're starting to get a resurgence out of JT. Schwarber's in the last year of a deal. I am surprised. I didn't expect to get that this year. I was so ready for this deadline to try to sell people on just do the Austin Hayes trade and do the Estevez trade. Don't give up any of the guys and let this core ride it out and just say, hey, thank you for all you've done for us, but it's time for us to think about the future. I can't do it. I cannot do it. It's if you trust your baseball people, and you have to be okay with giving them one last ride. Give them one last ride to see if they can get it done. Because while you've spent a lot of money, and while you've traded some prospects, you haven't done the wind at the back of their sails all in and with one clear. We've given you everything you need. Go get it done. And the thing that I trust the most about this team and something that I do believe in, if you make some big moves, I think Middleton, if I was Middleton, I walk down to Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and I say, I got you studs.
Totally.
Go get it done.
Totally.
Go get it done. Yep. And I think those two specifically would really, not that they are not all, I just think that it would almost be like a wind at their sails type moment of look what I got for you. It's going to cost me money. It costs us prospects. It might have cost us our future. Go get the trophy.
Yep.
Go
I love
get
that.
The trophy.
I love that. And John, you could do that with my deadline. Suarez, Helsley, we're bringing in two proven studs at our two biggest needs. They're going to be gone at the end of the year. I mean, most likely, but you know what? They're going to leave with rings. That's what you tell him. All right, that's my deadline. Fritz, the floor is yours.
Great. It's the first trade. Is Dylan Campbell. Johan Rojas.
Ooh, people are going to be mad about that. You think they're going to be all right letting Johan leave?
And Gene Cabrera.
Mm-hmm.
To the White Sox for Luis Robert. No. I mean, come on,
is
man.
Is it enough?
So it seems like his value has gone up in the last week because maybe teams finally looked at his baseball reference and saw what he's done against left-handed pitching. Now he also has
just look at the overall stats. Yeah.
Yep. And
people have been
now,
tweeting at you, haven't they? Why would we want this guy? Look at his numbers. He stinks.
Now maybe the injuries keep it down. So Dylan Campbell, I think, is actually a team that like small market teams would be interested in because he can legitimately stick in center field and hits the ball hard. So it's just like a shot in the dark. Johan Rojas, whatever. Like I didn't want to keep putting him on my roster, but maybe the White Sox would take him.
Yeah, and then, I think we're all happy to get rid of him. No worries.
And then Gene Cabrera, like, is a major league caliber arm. I just think he's a 4 or 5. And I don't think he has like reliever upside. So it's like not a lot, but it's also a pretty decent amount at the same time. And he's a rental probably for the rest of the year because he has a $20 million option. So it's not like the White Sox can be super judicious about where they send Luis Robert. So he's essentially a rental. That's like a rental price for as hit or miss and injury prone as he has been. But yes, I am bringing Luis Robert home and we are taking a shot on Luis Robert.
I would have been devastated if you didn't. It would have been such a disappointment. But also for that price, I would do it. I think he'll probably cost more than that, but I would do it for that. I mean, that's the right price in my mind to take a shot on a talent like that and a guy like that. So, and also look, it might not cost more because you know what? The White Sox are dumb. It's always smart to deal with dumb teams. It just is.
Now, the only problem with that is I do believe that Getz really overvalues his guys. And that's why it seems like no deals really get done. But
right,
regardless, my second trade. And before I get like too far into this.
Oh, good. Yes.
I felt like my first perfect deadline was so good that like I just wrote names after that of who I would also take.
Love this.
I didn't want
to. You meant to do more and you're like, no, it fits. It's like Da Vinci finishes the Mona Lisa and it's like, wait. I wanted to add something. No, I can't. Look at it. It's perfect. Why would I add something? Yeah, I get it. It's good.
Because I kept going through. I was like, do I really want to have to add the same trade I just made? Because I just want to keep making the same trade over and over again.
It's good work by you. It's good work. I appreciate it. It just means I'm going to cherish this deadline that much more as you do it, knowing that it's the perfect deadline.
the children are weeping. It's like, what a perfect deadline.
People are celebrating the streets.
Yes. My second trade is Alec Bohm.
Oh, you're trading all the fan favorites right now, you know?
Oh, wow. Alec Bohm, Mick Abel, and Arun Escobar.
Whoa, hold up. Just for those who maybe don't always tune into it. Arun Escobar was on Jack's, he's like Dave Dombrowski or Ben Brown is untouchable. Logan Hobby's untouchable. Arun Escobar was untouchable for you, so I'm intrigued to see. Go ahead.
To the Diamondbacks for Eugenio Suarez and Shelby Miller. I need Shelby Miller, 1.82 ERA this year, and I need another bullpen piece. So I'm trading
and
all
that's
of that.
The difference between giving up Crawford and Arun in a package, essentially.
We'll get to Crawford. we'll get to him. So I am surprised at how much I need a Eugenio Suarez, who I have ripped him for being like just
hollow stats.
The emptiest 30 home runs I've ever seen. I need those empty 30 plus home runs.
An empty 49 one time too, Jack. Let's not forget that one season.
That was the year. So when me and you drove up to the Hall of Fame for holidays induction, and I remember on the way back, it was probably the most nerdy baseball talk I've ever had in my life. It was disgusting. And I think we were talking about like the hitters I felt like I could not get out, which obviously is all of them.
I remember talking. I so remember that. Yep.
And I'm pretty sure the two names were Altuve and Suarez. Like I used to love him, and then he got really strikeout prone. And But what I keep thinking about is, so there's a couple things. One, I used to think Schwarber hit a bunch of empty home runs, and yeah, besides the postseason. For the most part, I thought he had, and so empty home runs still matter, whatever. His third base defense, he used to be really good over there. He is more just like, he will stand there and make the play that's right at him. He'll make that play in his sleep. Like, he'll feel the ball and throw it to first base in his sleep. Just no range. So I actually think that now I put Boehm in it because I am very ready to move on from Alec Boehm, and maybe they want another year of a third baseman, you know. But I don't, I think if they get Suarez, I think it's most likely that Boehm is still here. And then he's just a DH, and I think Schwarber plays left field. I think that's why Schwarber played left today. I think Schwarber played left today as a possible, like, all right, is this going to work if we go get a
and right away off the bat, the prettiest catch we've seen, you know, which is beautiful.
Like, he'd done it a thousand times.
Fall on his butt, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, so a ruin would hurt. But I think why I felt like I had to give up a lot for him is I just think the bidding war is going to get there. And I'm so sick of, well, the price is too high. Well, someone's paying the price. I mean, someone's paying the price every deadline for these players that can help you win. So while I understand you don't want to give up everything, at the same time, someone is willing to pay the price. And the Dodgers and Yankees pay the price every single year. And they're right there every deadline, still giving up more prospects. So that's what I want the Phillies to operate like. Losing a Aroon would kill my soul. But I need 36 home runs from the right side.
Yeah, look, Robert in center field does cover a lot of ground. You would hope that would help with the worst corner outfielders in the league. And
dude, also Robert's nickname is La Pantera. I mean, the Panther.
That's sick. That's
one of the best nicknames in sports. I need that. So yeah, I think that overall thoughts, I think they can get Suarez without putting Boehm, and then Suarez at DH and Boehm stays at third, Harper at first, and Schwarber's in left field. And then they just rotate at DH between Schwarber and Suarez for the rest of the year. So we shall see. All right. Next trade. Justin Crawford and Alex.
You really got in the system. This is good work by you. I'm proud of you, buddy.
Justin Crawford and Alex McFarland to the Pittsburgh Pirates for David Bednar. So I think they're interested in Justin Crawford. Bednar has not.
He's been awesome. He's been awesome.
Dude, he hasn't allowed
21 straight outings.
He hasn't allowed a run since May 23rd.
I think it's like 21 straight outings or something like that. It's been a while.
It's been since May 23rd. So, he's under contract for another year. He comes out to Renegade by Sticks at CBP. I think that's a problem for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. It's a hefty price. It's a hefty price, but it's not as much as it would cost for Duran. It's not as much as it would cost for Mason Miller. It's not as much as it would cost for some of these other Felix Bautista, even though that he is injured. It's a pretty big price, but I'm getting a guy who's been great this year. I think would love pitching in this environment. The Pirates, I think, want to do right by David Bednar, and I think they would rather trade him in state so that he doesn't have to, like, he's from, I guess, out there. So I think they want to do right by him as well. So I frankly would be surprised if Bednar by Thursday at 6 o'clock is not a Philly. I think Bednar.
Wow, what a declarative statement there. You
it's what we do on this podcast,
putting it out there. When not always, we don't always do that, so it was good. I liked it. Well done. All right,
so if you're thinking already, how can I get more perfect?
There's more. I just can't believe there's more. I mean, you've traded like the 10 prospects out the door already, including
I traded Crawford.
So Abel wasn't in one of those?
No, Abel's in it, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, so no big deal with that too? But, all right, go ahead. Sure, yeah. No
prospect schmospects, as I've always said.
That's what you always said. Yeah.
As I've always said. And my final trade is the Farabas kid in Clearwater. He's the catcher. And Griffin Burkholder to the Red Sox for Rob Ruff Snyder.
There it is. Well done.
Thank you. So
that would be a great trade, regardless of your deadline. Like that would be a really, really good trade for this team. Like, yeah, do your Rob Ruff Snyder thing. Just go ahead again for the millionth time.
OPS is over 900, plays the outfield as a left. Like, he just rips left-handed pitching. So yeah, it's pretty simple. I want a Marsh Refsnyder left-handed, a left field platoon for the rest of the year. Max Kepler is DFA'd, and my lineup is Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Suarez, Castellanos, JT, Marsh slash Refsnyder, Luis Robert, Stott slash Kemp.
I mean, that's so much better. Bullpen. And you have Bednar now. Yeah, that's the bullpen and you have Mellor too. God, that's so much better. You did a lot. I just had two guys. You did a lot.
The bullpen is Bednar, Shelley Miller, Strom, Kirkering, David Robertson as the five.
You basically did mine on steroids.
Yeah, but and the thing is like, I know that.
But I'm with you. Like, go in.
I don't think it's that much. Giving up Crawford would hurt. Arun would hurt. Abel would hurt. I understand the implications of trading Boehm and whatnot, but. Like, I didn't trade Painter. I didn't trade Aiden. I didn't trade Taiji. I didn't trade, like, the super.
You didn't trade Nori.
Didn't trade Nori. Come on, man. We're not selling. He's still, like, in the sell low period. So I'll continue to buy Dante Nori stock. Got a hit today. Got hit by a pitch. We take that. And Aiden. I actually think Aiden is selling low right now. Aiden has been brutal since June 1st. It kills my soul. I hate checking the box score. I hate looking at the – I live and die with every single at bat, which is probably an unhealthy way to look at a 21-year-old shortstop in Double A. Totally. The official statement is that he's putting a lot of pressure on himself heading into the deadline because I don't think he really wants to get traded, and I think that it's wearing on him. So that's the official statement. He's fine. Everything's okay.
Good statement. Good say. I really like that. That's a good
thing. Thank you. Can I do like some other little things that I like?
Yeah, sure. It's like a trade deadline take bag kind of thing.
Sort of. Because, again, I don't know. We might not do a podcast before the trade deadline. So
Yeah. It depends on what happens, you know, but yeah.
All right. So the first one is an actual trade, and then everyone else is just names because, you know, whatever. But the first one is I'm trading Painter, Aiden Miller, Bryson Stott, and Mick Abel to the Diamondbacks for Ketel Marte, and once again, the things I would do to get the Ketel Marte on this team.
He's so awesome, dude. He's so awesome,
dude.
So
and awesome. He's under contract for like $15 million until
Painter and 2030.
Whatever, whatever. I don't like prospects. Get me Ketel Marte.
Take them all. Yeah, it's good.
Like, whatever the Diamondbacks want for Ketel Marte, I'm pretty much willing to.
Walker, Sutton?
No, maybe off limits. Maybe off limits. But it's close. I mean, it's. If Mike Hayes.
You had to think about it. You hesitated, you know?
Dude, adding a second baseman that's 30 some home runs with a 955 OPS.
Seems like a good guy. I mean, I'm sure he'd take it care of
him. Good guy. He ruined my life two years ago.
Yeah, like, just, I don't love the Ketel Marte thing in that prism, but yeah.
Yes. But official statement, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And then some other names, I think, like Kwan, we've talked about a lot. I don't know if he's actually going to get moved, but
I wouldn't count on it. Yeah, I don't think so, but
it doesn't seem like Duran's going to get moved. The Padres turned down Ethan Salas and Dylan Cease for him, I believe. So, yeah, that's a pretty hefty package for Jaron Duran. Seems like something they're going to do this offseason. But Kwan, and again, the case for both those guys, while they're not a perfect fit, right? You know, another lefty bat. Kwan, a corner outfielder. Duran, a pretty good center fielder, but a great corner outfielder. They can't hit lefties. The case is just what they do at the top of the lineup and then just lengthening everyone out and putting Schwarber behind Harper. It's again, you want right-handed power, 100%, but you also want good players, and Stephen Kwan and Jared Duran are good players. So that's quick thought on that. From the Twins, like Jax, we talked about, he's been kind of down this year, but the stuff.
Yeah, he has. He's been bad. It was really a really bad start. He had a really bad April, and then he's kind of like had a really solid May, a little bit worse June, and then he's been good again. So
yeah, I mean, he should be the best reliever in baseball, but he has not been that. Duran's going to cost a ton, but obviously we'd love Duran. The guy that I think is interesting on the Twins is Brock Stewart, who I loved like 2 years ago, and then he got Tommy John.
I remember that. Yeah.
I loved Brock Stewart. So maybe as a bit of a bounce back candidate, the Cardinals all of a sudden are barreling towards selling.
Brendan Donovan, buddy. Once the again, name's out there. Let's go. He's like Bader.
Don't
like
the freaking Dodgers get Brendan Donovan.
Okay? Him and Bader, I think, are like the two patron saints of the perfect deadline.
It's just sickening.
And perfect offseason, even.
And Rapp Snyder.
Rapp Snyder's a more recent one. He is, but like Donovan and Bader, I feel like, are like, you know, 3 or 4 years running each at least.
So the reason why I got lazy and didn't put together a trade package for that, for Donovan and Helsley, it's like, I don't know what Brendan Donovan is going to cost. I don't.
Yeah, it's like impossible to judge.
I would trade Bohm. I would trade Stott as headline, obviously, like headline packages. Like, I, you know, do I want him to play left field every day? Probably not. But like, dude, the guy can do everything. He can play second, short, third base, and the outfield.
He's valuable.
He's amazing. He's what you hope Kemp is Brendan.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I would trade a lot for
I know you would. You can't be allowed in the room if they're talking about Donovan. You would walk in and be like, here's all I give up. And they'd be like, really? Thank you. Okay, we'll take it.
We would have
given you him for one of the three guys you mentioned, but sure, cool.
It's Matthew Fisher on steroids. Like, I haven't stopped thinking about Matthew Fisher. Brendan Donovan is in the same class. From the Rockies, of course, would take Nick back, of course. No doubt about it.
Of course. Yeah, it's of course. I'm happy he got to Colorado. That was good for him.
He should probably stay in Colorado.
Big time, buddy. Yeah, at least a few more years and build it up.
But Seth Halverson and Jake Bird. Now, Jake Bird is the guy that Harper got into the shouting match with on the day the Sixers laid down in Game 7 against the Celtics. So maybe that wouldn't work. But Seth Halverson is like someone who I would just – he stinks like 100%, but his stuff is electric that if you get him out of cores where the stuff doesn't move as well, he seems like he's available. I would take – Seth Halverson throws 100 and like 1 mile. Take a bounce back shot on him. From the Orioles, Sir Anthony – Would love to bring Sir Anthony
back. Would. Could have stopped after just Wood.
He's added a splitter this year, or maybe like he had it in the past, but it's like way, way better of a pitch now. Andrew Kittredge, of course, I've wanted him for a decade. He was
on my deadline last year, I think. I'm with you.
Andrew Kittredge. And then Ryan O'Hearn is the one to watch there if they want to do the
bad, but still, you know, he's a good, nice, like a winning player, feels like.
Well, he's had a huge year too.
Yeah,
he
played
first and put Harper in the outfield.
Outfield in a pinch, I believe, if you had.
Yeah, he could stand in left field, Ryan O'Hearn. Mm-hmm. So those are some interesting names. Brandon Lowe, I actually think, is a sneaky idea with the Rays. They're probably going to trade him. He's been hurt all the time, but
yeah, he's good when he plays. Yeah,
yeah, he's great. Know? I think he has 19 home runs on the year.
Yeah, and year after year, he's good.
I actually think the Rays are a team that would be interested in like a Stott type, where Stott is a great defensive. Like, I think teams like the Brewers, Rays, you know, these small market teams that really value defense is like their outlier trait. I think that's where a Stott trade. Smart. Now the Brewers won't because they have Bryce Tarang, so it's regardless. But like, if they wanted to move Stott, the low at 20 plus home run power bat hitting second base, you could do worse. Plus they have like a million arms if you want to do like Pete Fairbanks, and seems like they've kind of cooled off. Garrett Clevenger, gonna bring Clevy back.
To replace Alvarado, how poetic would that be?
Be beautiful. And then final one. The fact that they haven't been linked to Kenley Jansen is just the shock of the century.
It's such a Dombrowski guy. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Dombrowski has a picture of Kenley Jansen up in his office and just has for like 10 years.
So how I envision it is that they're all in the war room. They're all sitting there. They're all the analysts, you know, the data guys are saying, don't say it, don't say it. and then Dombrowski's standing at the top of the table or whatever. By the way, happy birthday, Dave Dombrowski.
Yes, 69 years old. Nice.
Nice. And then Dombrowski is sitting at the top of the table, stands up and goes, what about Kenley Jansen?
Yeah.
And they're like, exactly. Of course. So
then he's like, hold on, guys, picks up his phone and gets off. 2 minutes later, he's like, I've just acquired Taylor Ward and Kenley Jansen. There's our move, boys. Yeah,
exactly. So then, you know what he does when the analysts, you know, they shake their head and roll their eyes. He pulls up Baseball Reference and looks up the all-time saves.
Yeah, you're right.
And he puts it on the PowerPoint screen and says, look at that. So, Jansen, I'm assuming we'll be a Philly. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but just waiting for the notification at this point. Mm-hmm. If they want to actually be creative, Reed Detmers, who's been disgusting as a lefty reliever.
Former starter.
Former starter, threw a no-hitter one time. And then, Ward and Adele. Adele might actually be playing too well and is only 26.
Yeah, he's cooled down a tiny little bit lately compared to what he was doing before, but still. And I'll throw Adolis Garcia in there too. He's been awful since he won the World Series MVP, but I think he would cost very little because of that. And he has won a World Series MVP as a random pick. Like, if it costs nothing to take a shot on him, like change the scenery, maybe. But look, I'm not, patting the table for it, but just throwing names out there at the end.
I don't have much interest in Garcia.
Yeah, I get it. That was very clear from the way the face you made when I said it. So
I just mm-hmm. I'm all right now. Maybe he's Randy,
Yeah, like Randy. I was just thinking about Randy. Randy got like almost DFA'd or whatever, and then all of a sudden it's like, out goes, and he's like, oh, there he is, Randy, stud.
That would have been a good one. That was again. I don't want to do the thing. I don't like doing this.
I know because you've had some misses.
Misses. No. But people, two straight deadlines. I wanted Teoscar 2 years ago, and people were like, "Oh, he sucks, mm-hmm. stinks." And then I wanted Randy last year. Oh, he stinks.
Is this your way of telling people, like, "Hey, Luis Robert"? Just saying.
Come on down. Come on down, Luis Robert. Luis Robert. I can't wait for Thursday. I need it to be Thursday.
It's gonna be awesome. Oh, if anyone's around, like if you live in the area or whatever, we are gonna be at McGurk's in Fort Washington. Like all the shows that day, you guys are there too, right? It's the whole station, I believe. Is at McGurk's. Yeah.
I think so, I'm doing. I last time I did, like, did you do it till 12?
I'm doing the desk till 12. So yeah. So Jack and I'll be there. Come at noon, and you can see both of us. But we'll be there, so that'll be fun. So yeah, we definitely won't do a pod before the deadline, unless if they make a trade, we'll do that. But like but you're right. This is our last preview, so I'm happy we got all out there.
And I do want to make sure that I just want to check the text messages to see if we missed a trade during this, which
we did not. We're good. Yeah, I've been looking. Just the only text I've been getting are from Emily. So
great. Great. Yeah. Well, tennis is Tuesday, so we'll see.
Yes, that FDR Park. Come check it out, or don't. I don't think Jack really cares if people come on Tuesday.
Don't care. we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
You're already up 2-1, so this is like it's must win for him. It's not for you. So
yeah, 100%.
Because sprinting's over.
I am there to win. I know that's not to. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I'm load managing heading into running like he threatened to do. But yeah, I won't bring significant others into the conversation of our stupid radio. So we don't have to do that. We can just have
we love
fun.
You, Jill. We love you, Jill.
Okay. David Bednar, Luis Robert, and Eugenio Suarez. Get it done.
Bro, I think this pod Helsley Bednar either are. We are fully in on Eugenio Suarez. We are buying the sticker price. We're like the hot new shiny item. Like we're in because he's the shiny item right now. It seems like, and we're like, don't care, go get him because he's perfect. It's perfect. It's a perfect guy. All right,
get me empty 36 home runs.
Yeah, need that. And get us the next 30 this season. Just kidding. But a bunch, and they won't be hollow. All right, we'll be back after the deadline or after a trade, one way or the other. And please, Dave, please, man, just one time, buddy, one time. All right, we'll talk to you guys later in the week. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.